Well, we're going to start a new little series, a mini-series, I guess, for a few weeks here. We're going to be talking about faith, and the topic is faith for today. And you know, we need faith working in our life and to be able to walk with God in a greater depth, and we can walk to the fullness of the capabilities, I think, that God has put inside of us. Every now and then, there's a mountain that comes against us that, you know, we have to deal with, and sometimes what happens, have you ever felt like you want to quit? You know, sometimes people feel like it's too hard, can't go another step. And the thing is, when you and I decide to quit, then we will not get the blessing. And we're going to look at that here. You know, that's what's happening here in the book of Hebrews, what we're going to look at, that Christians were throwing in the towel before they received the blessing. And they were starting to make choices based on, you know, what they feel instead of faith. And it's important that we don't go by our feelings. And, you know, we can make the same mistake. Scripture I want to start is Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. And we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews as far as the person, but we know the Holy Spirit was behind it. Amen. He was moving upon the person to bring this revelation. So Hebrews is chock full of excellent things about the blood of Jesus and how important it is to be able to put him ahead of everything. And the writer here was dealing with some Hebrew Christians, and they had walked away from temple life, and then they were in the church. But then what happened is that things started to maybe unravel, and so they were contemplating going back into the old ways and falling away from God. And we don't want that. It says in verse 35, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for unction today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit just to move mightily upon each of our hearts and minds today. Lord, I thank you that you put us here at this time, for such a time as this, Lord, that we live in exciting times. We know that darkness is trying to raise its ugly head so many ways in our culture and in our country and in this world. But Lord, we thank you for the light of the Word, just to shine forth, to reveal the lie, and Lord, just to let truth become manifest in our lives. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look here at the idea of what it means to have faith that endures. Faith that endures. You know, I'll be honest with you. What I'm talking about today, you know, may not be for everybody, but it should be. Because as a Christian, you know, we live in a world that much of the things going on is in direct opposition to the truth that we find in God's Word. So we have a choice to make. Are we going to blend in with the world, or do we want to stand out? And when we stand out, that means we've got to step up and step out in faith and start to try to use God's Word. See, a lot of people, you know, when they become a Christian, you know, they just think it's fire insurance. They don't have to go to hell. But really what it is God has given us so much information and so many things in His Word that will help us to live a godly and successful life. And that's what He wants for us, and that's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. But to do that, then we're going to have to start to apply the Word of God to our life. And not everybody wants to do that because it takes a little effort on our part. You know, que sera, sera Christians, you know, they just kind of get what comes, right? But those who want to step out in faith, well then, we can really do a lot of things for the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's all for His glory. Well, talking about confidence here. Now, first it says, don't throw away your confidence. And that's what they were doing. And what they're doing is they were casting it off like trash. You know, has anybody done any spring cleaning? You know, or summer cleaning or whatever. Every now and then I just go and all of a sudden I'll just decide I'm going to throw stuff away. You know, stuff's been sitting there. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm ashamed to say this, sort of. But we have stuff in our house that's been sitting in the same spot for 15 years and we've never used it. You know, it's just becomes, it's a spot, you know. You know, it's just there. And it's just there, and that's just the way it is. I don't know why, but that's just how we roll. You know, and every now and then I just finally, oh man, I got to throw papers. I always save things, think I'm going to read it, you know, and all these magazines. And then finally I just had enough and I'll go recycle. I mean, I just load up my truck and, you know, head out and get rid of stuff. I can't take it no more. But see, that's what this is like is, you know, you cast, they were just casting away their confidence that they had in God like it was trash, like it was rubbish, and just didn't want to deal with it anymore. Now, that word confidence, I mean, we think we know what it means, and we do kind of. You know, when you're confident, you know, it just kind of comes out of you, doesn't it? But what this word confidence is talking about in the Greek, it says it's talking about speaking what you think. And see, that's the telltale, is when, you know, we can tell how much confidence we have by sometimes what comes out of our mouth. You know, the things that we say. And that's very important, you know, that we govern those things. You know, to me, it's bad when we think negative thoughts, but it's worse when we speak them. We all have negative thoughts probably from time to time, and depending on, you know, your personality and how you was raised and the things you've went through in life, you know, some people have to deal with more negative thoughts than others. You know, that's just the way it is. But see, it's how we deal with those negative thoughts, and, you know, do we let them stay in our mind? You know, and do we entertain those thoughts, and do we make them feel at home? And that becomes what we are. Or do we even do something worse, is that we speak out those negative thoughts. And we start to, see, when we start to speak them, that means we've sided with them. You know, that's what I believe, that's what I am. And see, when we do that, we get in kind of trouble because it starts to manifest. See, when we speak out our negative thoughts, we are casting our confidence away from God. You know, and we're just saying, you know, there's times that we pray, right? You know, everybody prays, right? Everybody? We all pray, right? Well, have you ever prayed for something and you said amen, and then the next thing out of your mouth just unraveled everything you prayed for? You started speaking how you feel. You started speaking, you know, negative thoughts, how you think. And it's totally contradictory to the thing you just prayed. And see, that's why we aren't walking in the area of God what we need to. There's things we can do to overcome those things. It's just our responsibility. It's really not that hard. You know, it's just something that we have to, you know, desire to start to walk in. See, our words are a creative force, and they have a large influence on our life. And that's why we need to govern them, because, you know, we can just get rid of our confidence real quick. And, you know, some people that dealt with that is in Numbers chapter 13, and it's the children of Israel. Now, they had come out of Egypt. They'd been down there about 430 years. Abraham had prophesied they'd be over there down there 400 years or so. And here's God's word just coming true again, you know, just like he said he would. And he brought those people out of Egypt, and he says, I got a place for you. I got a special place. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's a place where it's going to be awesome. You're just going to walk in my blessings. It's just hard to imagine, people. It's just so great for you. Well, they're all excited. So what they did then is they sent out 12 spies, okay, one from each tribe, and they went into the promised land. And they walked around, and they checked things out, and they came back, and they even brought some of the fruit. It says they brought some of the grapes, and the grapes were so plenteous that they had to put a stick between two guys' shoulders and load it up just to carry them grapes back to show, hey, this is what's in this nation. This is what God prepared has for us. But then, oh, but there's something else. There's giants. They're big. And, you know, 10 of them said, we can't do it. Two of them said they could. Joshua and Caleb. But 10 of them spoke out these anti-faith. They were faith killers. See, negative words are faith killers. And they spoke out these words. And then one of the things, you know, that they said, and I call this the grasshopper complex, and that what happens, they went out there, and due to this negative talk, it made the nation side with the 10 instead of the 2. And what happened then is that everybody had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. All the while, God brought them out of Egypt. Mighty miracles, parted the Red Sea. I don't know about you, but I'd think, hey, this is a pretty good God right here, you know what I'm saying? Parted the Red Sea, they walked across on dry ground. And the enemy, Pharaoh and his army, they were consumed with the water when it came in back behind them. I mean, God had done some great things. And here he led them up to this border, and, you know, they had to go on in, but yet they chose to see that the problem was bigger than what they could handle. See, God had promised that land, and in Numbers 13:33, here's a key, and you got to write this down, highlight it, and, you know, really think about it. Because what they said was, we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, they were putting off the grasshopper vibe. You know what I mean? They had believed the lie, and they believed that, you know, they were inadequate to deal with this problem, but all they had forgotten that God had brought them there, and he was going to, you know, help them fight. He was to be the one that brought them into that. All they had to do was believe, but yet they fell short, and that's what happened here. Talking in Hebrews where they, you know, could not go on. They had cast away their confidence. They just lost it. Because when they lost confidence is because when they faced opposition. And see, that's what happens to you and I. We don't maybe face severe opposition all the time, but every now and then, right? Every now and then, you and I are brought face to face with opposition. A problem arises in our life. Something that we have to deal with. We can't really go around it, you know, per se. It's something that we have to deal with. And what's the process is how we deal with problems. How do you deal with your problems? I mean, a lot of people have different systems, you know, how we deal with things. Do we run? You know, I've counseled people that they have a big problem. They come to me for help. Usually they wait to the last minute, you know what I'm saying, before it's, you know, we do need a miracle now. You know, I mean, a month ago, we didn't need a miracle. We could have got through this, but no, we wait till the miracle time. And what happens then is they say, well, I'm leaving. I go, where are you going? Over here, you know, this place. I says, you know your problem's going to follow you, right? Because they do. They follow us until we deal with them. And see, God has given us the things that we need, the tools, to be able to fix things, to do things, and to be able to make sure that we can overcome them. And so they lost their confidence. And see, our faith is measured not by what we do inside the church, by what we do outside the church. Amen. And that's where we usually deal with most of our opposition. Every now and then, there'll be some opposition inside the church, right? I mean, maybe somebody ain't getting along or whatever the case may be, whatever that is. But for the most part, you and I face opposition out in the world. And it's how we deal with those things. See, even though God had delivered them miraculously, they could only see the problem. And really, life, if you boil it down, life boils down to how we view how big our God is versus how big our problem is. And that's how we deal with things. I mean, how big is our God? What can God bring us through this? You know, God's done this before. Can he do it again? Yes, he can. You know, we just have to believe that. We have to hold on to that. But see, during these things that we go through, a lot of things start to come to the top. It starts to rise up. And see, if we're not careful, if we cast away our confidence and we allow those negative thoughts that maybe, you know, that's where we get hit first, right? First it's a thought, then it's a word. So we get bombarded in our mind. And so then we get bombarded in our mind, and then let's say we've kind of fell victim to just letting go, and then all of a sudden we release those negative words. And what happens is that we can talk ourselves out of God's blessings. We can do that. We have the ability to do that. We have the ability to talk ourselves into the blessings. As well as that, we can have the ability to talk ourselves out. So what we need is the word that some of us don't like is endurance. That's about as bad as patience, isn't it? Well, really, they're kind of in the same family. Nobody likes to be patient, you know, for the most part. And here's one, endurance. You know, it's kind of like if you're lifting weights and you think you're done. Has anybody ever done that? Or maybe you went for a run or a walk? I don't know. Some of us, it don't look like a lot of us run or walk much, do we? No, I'm just kidding. You know, I quit jogging when I started jiggling, you know. But, you know, you're running along, and you're at that stop where you hit that, I think them runners call it a wall, you know. My wall don't have to be very tall, you know. But you hit that thing, man, I don't think I can go any farther. You know what I mean? You know, I don't think I can run any farther. I mean, we're talking, I've only made it about a block. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just going, man, this ain't worth it. You know what I'm saying? But it's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah. You know, if anything, just tell your flesh, we're not stopping. But you see, what happens if we don't have endurance, we stop. I mean, really, if I go out jogging and I stop, it's not going to kill me, is it? I'm not going to fall over dead there just because I stopped jogging. Technically, if I kept jogging, I might fall over dead, right? No. But see, what it does, though, is it does something to us on the inside. We develop that quitter mentality because we quit, because we didn't have endurance. We didn't step through that pain and get there, because the word endurance means bearing up under load. You know, it's kind of like those women carrying grocery sacks from the car. You know, I don't know about you, but my wife, she doesn't make two trips. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she loads up. I mean, she gets about 10 sacks. I mean, her fingers are white knuckles, you know? I mean, she's got so many, you know, just trying to make it in the house. One trip. And see, there she's bearing up under load. And a lot of women do that. I mean, it says so on Facebook. You guys believe everything on Facebook, right? Have you heard those jokes? But anyway, what happens, though, is that they just loaded down. And see, that's what happens when we get into a situation. And we think pressure's the problem. But see, pressure does not create problems. Pressure reveals problems that are always there anyway. And that's what we have to understand. Each of us have certain things in our life that maybe we haven't dealt with yet. We all have a chink in our armor, whether we want to accept it or not. I mean, I can't remember how many. I heard a guy speak one time, and he was a guy, pretty smart guy, college guy, whatever. But anyway, he talked about how many blind spots each of us have. It's at least two or three, you know. Now, we think we know it all, but we don't. We have blind spots, stuff that we just can't see. And that's why they call it a blind spot, right? Have you ever been in a car and you're driving along and you start to pull over in the other lane, all of a sudden you hear a horn hit? You checked your mirror, but they were in your blind spot. And see, we have stuff in our life that goes on that we have these blind spots, and that's why we need each other to help us through these things. And it's important, because you and I, we live in a real world. And we all have to deal with real problems. And to me, as a Christian, you and I have an advantage over other people, because we have God.
Amen.
And we have to always remember that. We have an advantage over other people because we have the greater one that lives inside of us. We have ability to pick up a Bible and to build our faith, and then to be able to deal with those problems. You know, all kinds of problems. Anxiety, that's from the devil. Depression, that's from the devil. And through the Word of God, we start to reprogram ourselves, and then we get ourselves into a better spot. Because 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, as Christians, we overcome the world and we have that victory, and the victory is our faith, because our faith is being perfected. Everybody starts with a measure of faith. We're all, you know, kind of in the same boat to some degree. Some people say, well, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. The Bible says God has given us each a measure of faith. It's kind of what we do with it after that that's important. You know, how much importance do we put on the Word of God in our life? How important is it that we be able to have that, sorry, something just funny happened in front of me, and I just regroup, okay, anyway, it could happen to anybody, man, so anyway, what I see from overcoming the world is the idea is that progress comes through process. Okay? Progress comes through process. So there's a process that we do. And see, what we do during the trial depicts the progress that we'll have in our journey of faith. Because each of us are going to face different things. It's what we do, you know, when we're by ourselves. It's what we do, how we manage our mind, shall we say. How do we manage the negative thoughts and the negative words from coming out of our mouth? It's how do we stand on the Word of God? Because it's important that we understand these things. And this is so simple, it's pathetic, but nevertheless, it's one of the hardest things that we do because, you know, we just maybe neglect to do it is probably the thing. So when those things come against us, you know, we try to find a scripture that deals with that problem, and then we just stand on that word. Well, how long do you stand? Till the problem goes away.
That's right.
Amen. Simple as that.
Thank you.
It could be a day, could be a week, could be a month, could be a year. But is it worth it to go into the promised land? Or do we want to walk around in the wilderness, walking in circles for 40 years? See, the reason why they had to go in the wilderness for 40 years, they had to wait till those guys died off. Kind of sounds cruel. But they had to wait till that negative generation, the ones who gave up on God, died in the wilderness, so that the next generation was going to come up, and then Joshua and Caleb led them into the promised land. And Joshua was their main leader. Also, Caleb had his things to say, I'm sure, you know, through the whole thing. I don't know if they went out, Joshua and Caleb kept telling people, I told you so. You know, I don't know if they did that or not, but, you know, that's kind of what happened. So unbelief sent them in that wilderness, and we don't want that for us, and we don't want that for our children, right? I mean, most people probably want their children to go farther than we did, right? Hypothetically, we want them to have better than we have. That doesn't mean they have all the, you know, living in a mansion and driving Cadillacs and stuff. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm talking about journeys of faith. You know, I hope that where I leave off as far as I could rise, that's my children's, or this next generation in this church, is their platform, and they start where I left off, and they go farther. That's what we want. That's what we want for our children. So the children of Israel were unable to overcome the environmental thinking they had been raised in, and that's something that we have to do. See, they had been beat down both physically and mentally in their life. And so that's what kind of held them back. And, you know, some people have a poor self-image, but they also have a poor God image inside of them. You know, being able to develop that. So I'm not one that believes in making a lot of excuses. You know, I know sometimes people have a tough start. I ain't going to lie to that. I've ran into that a lot. You know, just the way they was raised and certain things that went on in their life. But, you know, I just say, man, you're an adult now. You can turn that around. I believe that God can do anything.
Amen.
I believe that God can change the way I think.
Thank you.
I believe that God can change my circumstances. I believe there's nothing that God cannot do. And if you have that kind of, you know, that's not a survivor mentality. No, I'm not surviving. I'm thriving.
Amen.
See, I don't just want to get by. I want to win. I want to give glory to God. I want people to see how big my God is. I want everybody to see just what God can do.
Yes.
And, you know, we do that when we start to leverage the information that we have when we're living by faith. And see, this is what the children of Israel had going on in their mind. They had that mentality that they couldn't make it, and that's what happened. And really, it's so important. You know, Carl Wallenda fell to his death from a 75-foot high wire in 1978. Some of you probably don't know who they called them, the Flying Wallendas. And this family, they would walk the tightrope and do all this acrobatic stuff, just crazy stuff. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do it. You know, I'm not really scared of heights, but I wouldn't walk out on a rope 75 foot in the air without a net. But after he fell to his death, his wife gave kind of testimony. She said that her husband, for 3 months before his walk, I think the walk was in Puerto Rico, for 3 months, He had been worrying about falling, where he never had that in his life before. He'd always made successful walks. But for, 90 days, shall we say, it's kind of like, Goliath kept coming out day after day, just bringing those negative thoughts against Israel, But he had those negative thoughts, and he just couldn't shake it. And he went out anyway, and he fell to his death. And here he had probably done walks like that many times over. But see, it's his mind that got him in trouble. And he focused on falling rather than focusing on walking the rope. Like I said, even though he's done it many times, so he cast away his confidence. So why do we want to keep our confidence? I'm talking about keeping a good positive confession. Why do we want to do these things? Well, to me, confidence plus endurance equal reward. That's what we're going after, the reward. Now, this here is going to be talking about apostasy. We're going to look at in a minute. But, not just a reward. It says in the Greek, it's talking about a great reward or a huge reward. I think it's the Greek word mega something, And, we done a mega sports camp here before. I mean, just big. Last night I had a big burrito for supper. I ate half of it. I brought the rest home. I got some lunch today. You know what I'm saying? But, big. It's a big reward. That's what God wants for us to understand. It's a big reward he has for us. And see, when we do God's will, we will receive God's reward. That's what the promise is there. It said they fell back because they quit doing God's will. They didn't want to continue on. So, faith, to me, will turn our trials into triumphs. Because we're going to go through them. They're going to happen there. It's what we do with them that tells what's, how we're going to live our life. See, we need to draw on those past victories. Now, I have a little victory book at home. I haven't written in it for years. I should. I don't know why I stopped. But I had this little book. It's a hardbound book, and you could write in it. And I used to write down past victories that God had done in my life. Why? Because when you hit a hard day, you have those things inside there you can look at. You can go back and say, well, God did this and God did that. And that's what the book of Psalms is all about. David, had did that in his life. He started to, when he went through hard times, he would remind himself of things that God had done. And to me, rewards are awesome. See, I don't serve God to get rewards, but getting rewarded is a benefit of serving God. You're going to have those things. Now, this word's talking about something big here. We're going to look at that right now. Hebrews 10, 37 to 39. It says, for yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So here we see, firstly faith needed to endure. Now we see that faith also must persevere. Now it talks about don't shrink back. This is talking about apostasy. Now, some people struggle with this concept. They believe that maybe once saved, always saved. Now, there's workarounds in each little denomination how they deal with this idea. But this is talking about actual apostasy. It's talking about it, and it's through the book of Hebrews, different places, several other places, that talks about what happens when somebody falls away, when somebody gives up their faith. Now, I don't believe it's if you, sin, you make a mistake, that God kicks you to the curb. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a willful decision to stop following. And that's what these people were doing. They were going back into Judaism. And they were heading back there because severe persecution was causing them to fall away. You have to understand, these people raised in the Jewish life, they had one center thing, that they went to, and that was temple, okay? And all the life revolved around Jewish temple. And they would go there, and if you were poor, you would go there and you would maybe get, they would help you, different things like that. And that's where you received your, your theological education about God and all these things. Well, all of a sudden they'd quit Judaism and went into Christianity. It's kind of a new thing, and whatever the case was going, and they were getting persecuted by their family members, being persecuted by their friends, all their peers. Why did you walk away from us? Why did you go off into this, wild, crazy religion where you say some guy rose from the dead? So we're dealing with all these things. And what happened is that some of them, due to that kind of persecution, the pull of temple life pulled them back into Judaism. And see, some Christians today, we have a different thing. It's the culture thing that we live in, the pull of the world. The pull of the world is trying to pull people back, pull them in to the old ways and things like that. And they've lost their fire. You know, God is the judge. We're not the judge, you know, but, you know, we need to make sure that it's talking here that we do not shrink back. And we got to make sure that we're pressing on, and we want to do it just like the children of Israel when they were leading them out of Egypt. They got out in the desert, and some of them wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, God is feeding them manna, and manna wasn't good enough, I guess. So they want to go back and eat, you know, back in Egypt, the things they had there. So, you know, different things that they had to deal with. And another thing about temple life is the fact that they had to go through a priest. You know, some Christians struggle with the idea that they can go to God by themselves. They think they need somebody to help them. Now, granted, we disciple. We need to help others to get them to the place. But, you know, I am not your go-between between you and God. But the Old Testament priest was. That you would come to me if you made a mistake or sinned, and then we'd have to kill an animal, and that blood would be, you'd, you know, pay a little bit of money maybe, or bring some, I don't know, had a little bit of deal there. So all these things, and some people, you know, dealt with that. But see, faith has no go-between between us and Jesus. We just go to him directly. So the word persevere here is talking about acquiring or attaining. Excuse me. The goal is to win our soul. And so it talks about preserving our soul, and that's what we need to do. And see, what we have to do is, you know, replace them wrong thoughts with good thoughts. It's a process that we do. Now, sometimes God does not take us out of our toxic environment, but he gives us the ability to take the toxic environment out of us. And that's by learning how to control your mind. It's talking about how to keep things in check, and it's a thing that we need to learn. Remember, progress comes through process, and the best process is the renewing of our mind. When we get the Word of God in our life, and we start to change that way, and we start to see things in a different way. So a lot of times, you know, you and I think our problem is the person, so we attack the person instead of the problem, but really we need to attack the problem, not the person. You know, technically, if we're walking in love, and we got the Word of God and the shield of faith, you know, everybody needs the shield of faith, right? You know, it's not just a symbol or an ornament. The shield of faith is to quench every fiery dart that the wicked one brings against us. Them arrows are coming, those lies, those accusations. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You're not going to have enough money till the end of the month. Nobody cares about you. You're ugly. You know, just different crazy things. So you got to have that shield of faith. And you hold that up. And that shield of faith, then them arrows hit that, and then it doesn't hurt you. And that's why we need to get to the place that we understand how to live by faith. And the Bible says here, the righteous, you know, the just or righteous man shall live by faith. And to me, with the new life comes a new way of living. That means we got to learn a new way. Now, when I first got saved, I started hanging around Christians because I wanted to learn. I wanted to see how they did things because I was not a Christian. I'd lived like the devil. You know, I mean, didn't have a clue about how these other people would live their life. So I got around some radical ones, people that were really into it. And I started to follow them around a little bit. Kept my mouth shut, didn't want to say something stupid. I don't know about you, but I was always scared I was going to cuss or something silly, you know what I mean, for a while. And till I got over that, but, you know, I was just, you know, just wanting to learn. I just wanted to. You know, I remember them, Jesse, and, you know, just different ones that had an influence on my life because I started to hang out with them. I started to get in the process of learning what it means to live a changed life and to be able to walk in that. And it's just a process. Everybody needs to go through it. Now, I want to close with one little thing here. I want to go back to that 1 John 5:4. I think I have it for the screen now. You know, it talks about, you know, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And I want us to really see this. This scripture is one that we should have highlighted in our Bible. Because, you know, God has called us to be an overcomer, not to just be overcome. Now, we're going to have problems. We're going to get knocked down. Just get back up. You know, I don't count, you know, how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you're getting up. That's important. because there's going to be things that we haven't been learned how to deal with yet. But, you know, we just have to understand that if we're born of God, if you're a born-again Christian and God is in your life, then He has called you to be an overcomer. And our faith is very important, that we develop our faith and that we start to help it to grow. And as an overcomer, you know, you got this because God has you. God has you. The Bible says you're in His hand. You know, think about that for a minute. Just think about the Creator of the heavens and earth. And as we look at the Christian Bible, just what God says about us. I mean, if you look at it compared to other religions of how their gods treat them, you know, we have a mighty loving God.
Amen.
A God who loves us and cares for us and wants to bring us, you know, to the place, the promised land that He has. So we have world overcoming faith residing inside of us. It's there. We just got to release it. How do you release faith? You speak it. Just like you release death, you speak it. Right? You got them negative words coming out. Well, let's turn those around. Let's start to release the Word of God. And, you know, to me, we should never settle for anything less than victory. Never settle. Jesus Christ has won. And it doesn't matter, you know, how long we play the game, right? We just win. Keep fighting that good fight of faith.
Amen.
Keep walking in the things of God. And knowing that, you know, what I teach you in here and that you assimilate for yourself is important. But then taking that and releasing that faith upon the world when we're out there, that's how it becomes yours. You know, I couldn't live on my friend's faith. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I witnessed to somebody and they told me their grandma was very spiritual, I would never have to work again. Somehow they think because their grandma was spiritual, they're okay. No, it's your faith.
Right.
It's the faith that you have. See, God has already given you some to start with. It's up to us to develop that faith and start to grow in the faith and start to use that faith. And then you're going to find out that when them mountains come into our life, that we don't back down. Don't back down. Just stand your ground. Be able to fight that faith, amen? All right, let's pray.